Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session, pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are here on four cases this morning. Our first case is 2018-1182, In Re A.W., a minor child. For the appellant, Mr. Cavallo.
Good morning, Chief Justice, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Frank Cavallo. I'm here with Cullen Sweeney on behalf of the minor child, A.W. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, please. Your Honors, in the very least, a juvenile who is facing the possibility of an adult prison sentence deserves to know exactly what conduct would cause that sentence to be invoked. When A.W. entered into his serious youthful offender adjudication, he was told by the court that only getting into fights, acting out, causing disruptions in the institution would cause his adult sentence to be invoked. Now, that's consistent with the language of 2152.14, but it is not ultimately the standard that the judge used to gauge his compliance in this case. In fact, if the judge had used that standard, we wouldn't be here because A.W. is basically a model inmate at the institution. He didn't do any of those things that the judge warned him against doing. In fact, what happened was the judge, after the disposition, after the adjudication, embarked upon a series of review hearings, at which time she began to change the standard that she was holding A.W. to. Essentially moving the goalposts of what was expected of him eventually to the point where he lost sight of them and they were basically out of reach for him.
Counsel, could you just clarify for me, when he entered the institution, what would have been available to him? Could he have said himself, I want to enter sex offender treatment, or would DYS have taken it upon itself to offer that kind of treatment? What could he have done?
Your Honor, I believe largely the decisions about what treatment is in the best interest of the child when he is committed to the institution is largely under the purview of the Department of Youth Services. So he can express, anyone can express, I'm sure, an interest in participation in certain programming. But it really is, I think, up to the Youth Services Department to determine what is in the best interest of affecting his rehabilitation.
And is there any indication that when he entered the institution that he refused any type of treatment?
I don't think the record indicates he refused treatment. It indicates he seemed to be reluctant because of what the treatment providers wanted him to do. Part of the treatment program apparently involves admitting to the offense in its entirety, or at least providing them with what they consider to be the kind of admission that they're looking for to get someone into a program. And he was apparently reluctant. That's not unusual. People are often reluctant when entering into a treatment program. But ultimately, in the fullness of time, after a second review hearing, after review hearing with the trial court judge here, he did ultimately decide he was all in and willing to participate fully in the program, and he did so going forward from there.
So the issue in front of us, the only issue we have is whether he had notice, correct? It's the only issue we accepted. I know you tried to argue some other ones in your brief, but so the question is, did he have notice, I guess, at the initial hearing? I mean, the judge says to him, I'm going to bring you back in 90 days and see how you're doing. That means, are you getting education? Are you doing what you're supposed to? Are you participating in group therapy? Are you part of a gang? All those things will matter when you come back and we have a hearing. And I'm going to bring you in so that I can look at you face to face. And if you're not doing what you're supposed to, I'm going to cut the sentence at ODYS and send you to prison. Doesn't that sound like notice that he had to participate in the group therapy?
Well, yes, and here's the difference. There's actually 2 points here, if I could take them one at a time. There are really two parts of the proposition of law that this court accepted in this case. One is the notice, and the second is the possibility of being able to comply with the whatever standard the court's going to use, and that's that's sort of beyond the scope of what Your Honor has asked, so I'll try to address
that. Well, I mean, we didn't
point.
Accept the proposition of whether he could be violated for not participating in group therapy. That we declined to accept that
correct.
Proposition, correct? So
that's correct.
The one we did was, as I understand, was about whether he had noticed that he could be violated for that.
Well, yes, whether he should be put on notice when the case essentially begins, when the SYO case begins, of what standard the court is going to measure his conduct by. What happens in this case is that the court tells him one thing at the beginning, puts him on notice that basically consistent with what this court has said in In Re CP and State versus DH, that some further bad act or some form of misconduct is the sort of thing that will ultimately cause the invocation of the adult sentence. But then the court in the multiple hearings that it has after that tinkers with and changes the standard to the point that it completely loses sight of that original statement to AW, to the point where the court starts telling him, well, if you participate in treatment, then I won't invoke the SYO. And then says, when that treatment's not forthcoming because ODYS drops the ball and doesn't put the treatment in place in a timely fashion, says, well, at least do as much as you can, and then I won't invoke the SYO. And it's only at the very end that the court adopts yet another standard, basically saying the fact that he didn't complete a treatment program was sufficient to invoke the serious youthful offender.
But what about that statement I just read? Isn't that about participation? I mean, that's what she told him at the disposition hearing. That seems pretty clear. I mean, I understand right. that you have some other arguments that go, that may be better arguments that we didn't accept, but...
No, I think that argument directly goes to exactly what we're talking about, Your Honor.
The proposition of law we accepted was the adult portion of an SYO sentence cannot be invoked for failure to complete ODY's program unless the offender was given notice that the failure to comply could trigger invocation. And isn't that kind of what she said right there?
She told him, the problem here is that if he doesn't know exactly what standard he's going to be held to, if the judge just gives him a broad standard that says anything whatsoever, then there's no way for him to conform his conduct to the standards that the judge would like, because he doesn't...
Counsel, wait a second. You said that children are committed to DYS, and then internally it's determined what programming is available to them, what they're amenable to in the institution, what they can participate. Am I correct on that?
I believe that is the case, Your
Honor. Okay,
yes.
So the judge couldn't say, I expect you to go to the XYZ treatment program at DYS, and here's how many sessions you have to have, et cetera, et cetera. That's up to the professionals in the institution to figure that out, correctly?
Correct.
So he went to the institution. Did he do anything to drag his heels or not participate once treatment was identified on what he was supposed to do?
He was reluctant initially when he arrived
at
the institution.
What does that mean?
He didn't, as I said earlier to the earlier
I know he didn't want to admit, et cetera, but is he in the session and he's having a difficulty admitting within the session, or did he not go to the sessions that were set up for him?
No, I believe they did essentially like a pre-screening kind of thing to see what his amenability to treatment would be. Given his reluctance, I think they put him in kind of a pre-treatment setting to kind of explore some of the things.
And he did that.
I believe he did that. And then very quickly after that, they had a review hearing the next month, really. And the judge told him, I want you to do this. And that's when the judge
made an order. That's not changing the goalpost. You've got to be in there. You got to do whatever DYS tells you to do. So that's not a surprise.
Yes and no. I'm not trying to be evasive here. The point is that what the judge told him to begin with was misconduct would invoke the SYO. And then the judge later on said, oh, you know what? I wanted you to do sex offender treatment too, and now I'm going to make that the condition for you to have your SYO invoked. And then...
Well, it's an overarching concept of when someone is committed to DYS, you're going to be programmed in there. That's not something that, as a child, I have to agree with, I'm going to be programmed in DYS. That's part of the DYS experience. Would you not agree?
That's correct.
Okay, so he's in there. He's the problem I see here is he was close to 21. Just the timing alone was a problem. And whether or not DYS started the programming in sufficient time to have him complete it by 21, or whether he became 21 and there was still more to do. Which is it?
The problem here, I believe, is that everyone in this case agreed that this young man should be able to have the opportunity to do the SYO program, knowing that it was only going to be about 7 months that he was going to go to the DYS program. That being the case, the judge, the prosecutor, the defense attorney, everyone agreed that they knew there was only going to be a limited amount of time for him to do anything whatsoever. And the injustice here is that at the end of this program, at the end of this 7 months, everyone knew it was only going to be 7 months, the judge told him, I'm invoking your adult sentence because you haven't completed what eventually amounts to a 9-month treatment program. Even if he had started the very moment he arrived at ODYS, the treatment professionals testified here, it was a 9-month program. So the best he could have done was almost finish anyway.
Counsel, doesn't the record reflect that the trial court judge's ire was not expressed at AW, but at ODYS, she said, we are failing him.
She did, yes.
Okay, so notice doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot if you're not provided with the opportunity to comply with that notice.
Correct, which is the second aspect of our argument here, which is that whatever the standard is going to be that you're going to give someone notice of, in the very least, it must be possible for him to comply with that standard. You can't put an impossible condition on someone recognizing they're only going to be there for 7 months and then say, well, you didn't complete enough.
Didn't she say to him, complete as much as you can?
She did.
Recognized that there is going to be a shortcoming when it comes to the amount of time that he can legitimately participate. And she said, complete as much as you can.
That's the goalpost moving question, Your Honor, is that when she says participate in a program initially, and then that doesn't happen because of something that's not his fault, and then she says, well, just do at least as much as you can, she's sort of, you know, changing the standard that she's telling him she's going to use to invoke the SYO. But then she doesn't use that.
To his benefit.
Yeah, to his benefit, yeah.
Okay, so why do you think she violated him?
I think she violated him because she wasn't sure that the treatment had done enough. And that's not the standard that the court is supposed to use. The court is supposed to look at whether he is engaged in some act or committed some conduct that puts his rehabilitation in jeopardy. The court skipped over that essentially and said, I don't think he's been rehabilitated. I don't really have an act that he's committed that caused that, so we'll just say the failure to complete treatment equals that act, and that's enough to invoke the serious youthful offender statute. And that's not really what 2152.14 says, which is why our proposition is you should give notice correctly and at the beginning so that none of this can take place. You can't be constantly shifting and changing because then the juvenile has no idea what standard he's
going to. If she would have said you have to successfully complete a sexual offender treatment program in DYS and just pursuant to the direction of DYS, okay? If she would have just said that.
At the beginning.
Pardon me?
At the beginning.
At the beginning.
Yes.
You wouldn't be here.
Well, I think something else would have happened at that point because I'm sure that the treatment professionals would have said, Judge, you realize what you've done here. You've placed a kid in a 9-month program and you only have 7 months for him to do it, you might want to rethink what you've just done. I can't imagine that.
Counsel, he still had 7 months, right?
He couldn't have completed a 9-month program.
Right, I understand. I'm trying to ask something else.
Okay.
He had 7 months. He refused to participate for the first couple months, right?
No. He was reluctant initially when he arrived at DYS in December. They had a review hearing in January where the judge said, I want you to do this program, and he agreed.
I know, but I'm saying even if he had participated from the beginning, he didn't.
Right.
He didn't participate from the beginning, so he couldn't have done as much as he could possibly do.
Well, the judge said do as much as you could possibly do in end of March and April after ODYS had failed to provide the services. That was the context in which she said that.
So I'm trying to give you your shadow of the doubt, but even if he had 7 months of stuff to do, he didn't even do the 7 months.
He had 9 months of stuff to do.
He had a 9 month program. He had 7 months to do it. He didn't even participate for 7 months. Correct?
That is correct. Part of that was attributable to him, of course, at the very beginning, but of the vast majority of that was actually attributable to ODYS's failure from January until April.
But, Counselor, but the invocation of this SYO was for failure to complete. Is that correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
Which was an impossibility from the get-go.
Correct. I believe my time is up. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Mr. Miranda.
Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court, my name is Anthony Miranda. I'm joined by Tasha Forcioni on behalf of the state of Ohio. The proposition of law before this court does not present a substantial constitutional question. It's uncontested as a general principle of law. AW argues that it was incorrectly applied in his case, but we submit that in this case, the court would be reviewing for error correction. And error correction is even less likely to impact AW because he's been released from prison after the close of briefing in this case. He was released from prison in May of this year. And additionally, appellant continues to raise issues that are unrelated to the proposition of law actually accepted by this court. He attacks in his briefing the voluntariness of the plea. He raises the second proposition of law, which this court did not accept. All of this, we respectfully suggest, indicates that this case should really be dismissed as improvidently allowed.
Counselor, why did the court invoke the SYO specification?
It invoked the SYO because AW did not do the things to substantially reduce the risk of recidivism he posed to the community.
Did the court say for failure to complete the sexual offender program?
I don't believe it did, but I could be wrong if you're referring to the invocation hearing. I don't recall that language being used, but I can say in terms of what was required throughout all the prior hearings is participation. The journal entry from January used the phrase participate and engage. The trial court continually stated that it expected participation. And it is simply not true that AW was compliant throughout this. In January, at the January hearing at page 4, the testimony was he does not participate in any type of treatment. So he was given the opportunity to participate, to gain a substantial benefit from the treatment, not complete the treatment programs, but to substantially go about reducing his risk of recidivism. And he didn't. And so that
Counsel,
was.
But at that point, there was no order in place, right? After the first hearing, even though she said from the bench, I want you to participate, there wasn't an order that went on. So what would have required him at that point? That was really my opening question, was what could he have done at that point? It's not ordered, not part of the entry. DYS isn't requiring it. So why are we putting the burden on him to somehow initiate treatment?
So the trial court puts out an order later that mirrors the language it used in open court at the prior hearings. And the state submits that was appropriate, that it just correctly reflected what it had already ordered him to do in open court.
But was the time lag between those two?
That order occurred after the first review hearing. But the majority below held that the order was proper even as an ODYS order, internally ordering him to participate in treatment. But irrespective of whether or not he was ordered, the question before the court is, did he have notice of that expectation? And at the dispositional hearing, it's clear that he had notice of this requirement. The trial court specifically said it was going to bring him back in 90 days, and it was going to ask him if he was participating in group therapies. It specifically mentions sex offender treatment being put in place, and it says that it wants him at that 90-day mark to have a better understanding of what's appropriate and what's not.
When did the judge say that?
That was at the dispositional hearing, so the sentencing, when he is then turned over to ODYS. And AW wants to talk about the plea hearing, but the plea hearing is irrelevant to notice. Notice of probation conditions are not read at the plea. They're read at the sentencing. And the voluntariness of this plea has never been challenged in the lower court. The only question before the court is whether or not he was on notice, whether he knew of this expectation at the time of sentencing.
Okay, so here's my question. The judge says at a dispositional, I'm going to bring you back in 90 days. I'm going to see how you're doing with your sex offender treatment, correct?
Correct.
Comes back in 90 days. He's less than participatory, correct?
Correct.
All right. She doesn't violate him then, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So then she says, you know, you're going to get basically, you got to go and participate in this. This is what we expect, and we need you to complete as much as you can of this program, correct?
That's correct.
And then DYS doesn't put him in a program for how long?
Until April, I believe.
Okay, we're in January.
Correct.
Not until April. Was that his fault?
Well, I think
forget about the fact that if he was participating in December, you wouldn't have had that gap. I'm asking, between January and April, was that his fault that he wasn't in a program?
I think it is, to the extent that his refusal to participate in January meant he couldn't get into a program.
In January or December?
I'm sorry, in December, Your Honor.
He wasn't refusing in January. He went back to the judge and she, you know, laid down the expectations and, okay, he's ready to get into a program.
Correct. So his prior refusal meant that he was no longer taking a spot in the open group therapy programs. And ODYS, the testimony was that they didn't have any other available programs until April. So to that extent, I think that delay is attributable to him. But even if it's not, even if it's, you know, some blame on all sides, the question is, was there still some bad conduct on his part?
Where was the bad conduct?
His initial refusal.
And she didn't violate him for there. So how could he have noticed that even if I go through all this treatment and I do everything I'm supposed to do until I turn 21 and leave this institution, why didn't he have the expectation that he was compliant? You can't hold something against him that when if you don't do it when it happens.
Well, I think two things. First, I don't think the trial court waived its ability to invoke based on that initial refusal. But it wasn't merely based on the initial refusal. The testimony at the invocation hearings was that even when he was participating, he was just going through the motions and he was superficially engaged.
Counsel, the problem I have with that from at least December to January is it doesn't seem clear that there's an order to participate. And even at the January 17th hearing, Officer Dansby testified that there was no order put in place, first of all, and that ADW continues to deny the accusations. And Dr. Albert testified that subsequent to the hearing, she invited AW to attend group sessions. That doesn't sound like an order. And it says when he was clear that he was ordered to do something, then he said, okay, I'm doing it, Judge, I'm doing it. But from that December to January period, there seems to be some doubt, or clear doubt, that there was an order by anybody. If he was invited to do something, then that's not an order.
I think it's fair to say that the court, based on that transcript you're referencing, was under the impression this requirement was in its prior journal entry and then later issues that journal entry.
Okay, but it wasn't, you admit, it wasn't in the journal entry,
it wasn't
correct?
In the initial dispositional sentencing journal entry,
so
correct.
Then how can we hold him responsible for something that wasn't ordered until January?
Well, I think there were two arguments. The argument we presented in the lower court was that the subsequent January journal entry correctly just reflected what was already ordered in open court.
But said ordered in January.
The order was not filed until after that first review hearing. Okay. But alternatively, the majority decision in the lower court held that it was properly ordered pursuant to the ODYS internal orders. But either way, that issue really isn't before the court. The validity of the order is not in question. That was settled by the lower court.
Okay, but so the proposition of law that we accepted dealt with being able to complete the program, correct?
Correct. Did he have notice and could he have completed it? Correct.
Well, the proposition specifically says the adult portion of SYO sentence cannot be invoked for failure to complete programming. So there was no way to complete the programming had he complied from day one.
I think that's true. I mean, it's certainly true you could not complete phase one and phase two in the amount of time he had. But the majority of the court below found that this was a false premise, that the trial court never required completion of the program. And it continuously throughout these hearings is talking about participation and engagement. And I think the fact that there wasn't enough time to complete it is another fact that suggests that the court was not requiring completion here, that they were requiring participation.
And you don't specifically remember why the court invoked the SYO?
Well, the court talks about, I mean, the court provides a number of reasons, including his initial delays that kind of constrained the timing of all of this. But it talks about his initial refusal and talks about his superficial engagement.
Does that, counsel, does that comply with the statute? Doesn't the statute require an act in violation of the rules and the conditions of supervision that could be charged as any felony or first degree misdemeanor to invoke the SYO?
So I think Your Honor's looking at the B1 of that statute, 2152.14, and I believe B2 deals with conduct that creates a substantial risk to the safety of the community. And that was the basis for the trial court's invocation.
Is that what the trial court stated?
Correct, yes.
Conduct or lack of conduct?
Right? Well, it was conduct in the sense that AW's failure to participate in this treatment did not meaningfully reduce his risk of recidivism. And so the trial court made the determination that he still posed a risk of harm to the community. And the 8th District affirmed that as a legitimate basis to invoke the SYO. The 9th District ruled similarly in a case dealing with a failure to complete treatment. But again, that issue was not accepted for review. That, I believe, was the second proposition of law. The question before this court is whether or not AW knew at the dispositional hearing that he was expected to participate in treatment, and whether or not he was required to complete a program that he could not have completed. And I don't think either of those circumstances exist in this case. I think it's clear that AW knew throughout these hearings he was expected to participate in sex offender treatment.
Counsel, assuming that we find that he was expected to from January on as opposed to December, what could he be held responsible for not doing?
So if I lose the initial refusal part, Your Honor's asking what other evidence?
Well, and I don't know whether, I don't know whether it says refusal or reluctance, because it seems to be an indication that no one said to him, you're ordered to do this, and he says, I'm not doing it. But let's assume we go from January on.
So is there the anything? Court is the remaining evidence is the level of his engagement. You have the testimony about the superficial nature of his engagement, that he's going through the motions, and that while he's attending this treatment, he's not getting any benefit out of it and is not buying into the treatment. And that was, I would submit, an additional legitimate basis to invoke this SYO.
And that was the testimony in the in front of the judge.
That was testimony, correct. Superficial engagement was specifically testified to.
And what did that mean?
That he was attending, but he didn't believe that he needed to reduce these triggers that were resulting in the misbehavior, and he didn't plan on
He said that. I'm not going to change anything any way I am.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. But your initial statements were all this doesn't matter because he's done his time, he's out, he's on the street, presumably?
He is out, yes, correct. He's under two other classifications, so I'm not arguing that it's moot. He's under post-release control, which he would not otherwise have been, and he's a registered sex offender, but the sex offender registration would exist independent of the SYO. So my only point—
Is it enhanced in any way?
I don't believe the SYO affects the registration
requirements. Okay, so that would have taken place anyway, so that's not really something we need to be concerned about as a
correct
consequence. But the post-release control is a problem.
It is something he is currently serving as a result of this SYO.
What, 5 years?
Yes, 5 years, correct.
Okay.
My only point was when this court accepted this case, AW was in prison and the circumstances have changed, and we think this is...
It doesn't make it moot, though.
It doesn't make it moot. I'm just suggesting to the court that it does not present the same issue of great public or general interest, and it's not going to have as big of an effect on AW as other cases of error correction might.
Well, Counsel, one of the things in reading in the journal entry, the court says, the youth places the community at risk since he did not participate in appropriate sex offender treatment while placed at ODYS.
Yes, did not participate, correct. So again, the trial court is not saying you did not complete a program. The trial court specifically saying you didn't participate.
But he did.
Well, he did eventually. I understand that your point is it's inexact language, but it's still focusing on his initial refusal.
No, it's not inexact. It said the youth places the community at risk since he did not participate.
Your Honor, I see my time is expired. Can I briefly respond to Justice Stewart? I agree that the trial court isn't providing detailed analysis about that failure to participate, but I think it can reasonably be read that it involves both his initial refusal and the superficial nature of his eventual participation. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel, you used your time. May take a minute.
Thank you, Chief Justice. There's really only one point that I would make in rebuttal, which is if you look to the March 31st hearing, the transcript page 10, the court tells AW at that point in the proceedings, very deep into this, the end of March, if you do everything you're supposed to do, I will not impose your SYO, presumably from that point forward. The court did ultimately impose the SYO, so what other conclusion can we draw? Because he did everything he was supposed to do from there on. The only possible conclusion you can draw is she made a determination that he hadn't completed treatment and therefore she was invoking the SYO.
What about the statement that the judge had that he did not meaningfully participate?
There were a number of different statements.
He was superficially participating.
Yeah, right. I know what you're talking about, Your Honor. There were a number of different statements about that from different treatment providers, some of which indicated he was actually very much engaged, especially after this hearing that I referenced just a moment ago, where he was basically all in and did everything to the letter exactly as he was asked.
So is this just a case where we just think the judge factually made the wrong determination?
Among other things, Your Honor, yes. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision.